I'm Dr. Kathy O'Neill, and in this episode of the Colorado's Cure podcast, we will be talking about crucial conversations with patients. During my medical training, like all of you, I was taught that it was important to listen to our patients. Like most clinicians, when a patient is in pain, my first go-to drug used to be an opioid. As I've learned more about the negative effects of opioids and seen the impact of the opioid epidemic on my patients and my community, I have changed my practice to managing pain with options that are just as effective as opioids. These new tools and techniques are evidence-based and have changed my approach to one where I deploy multiple types of pain management options that build on each other to address a patient's pain. With this change, I have to be attentive to the education of my patients and family members to help them understand the why and the how. These conversations can sometimes be tricky, especially because it means that I have to manage expectations differently. And as we all know, change can be difficult. Luckily, I have a whole care team to help me with these conversations. The RNs, physical and occupational therapists, case managers, and respiratory therapists all give the same message about the dangers of opioids. I do lean on my nurses quite a bit and try to have them in the room with me during these conversations. Today, my colleague, Diane Rossi McKay, RN, will help share some of these great tips about these crucial conversations. Welcome, Diane.
Thanks, Kathy. One of the things we want to start off with is talking about boundaries. When patients are in our care in the hospital, setting boundaries is crucial to keep our patients from harm. Work with the care team to define and set appropriate boundaries based on the patient's condition.
Right. We also want to make sure that we're reviewing expectations with the patient on what the new norm is for opioid prescribing patterns. Unless there are extenuating circumstances, there will not likely be an increase in pain medicines for non-pain admission problems such as asthma or renal failure. Now we need to review expectations with the patients on what the new norm is for opioid prescribing patterns. Unless there are extenuating circumstances, there will not likely be an increase in pain medicines for non-pain admission problems such as asthma or acute renal failure or COPD.
Right, and I think that's all about setting those boundaries, Kathy. Along with that, explaining the use of alternatives to opioid therapies, or ALTOs as we call them, both pharmacological and non-pharmacological treatment options. Those things are important as well.
Right. We need to make sure that we're clear on the non-pharmacologic approach, which includes using ice packs, heating packs, and nerve blocks from anesthesia. And other ALTO options, such as ibuprofen, acetaminophen, gabapentin, for example.
Well, I think one of the things that you have taught me is that when you're ordering those non-pharmacological treatment options, to make sure that we actually order those not as a PRN, but structured and keep those ongoing.
Correct, Diane. Yeah, we have started using the ALTOs as sort of a cocktail, per se. We use multiple different medications to treat diabetes or congestive heart failure, and that means that we need to have them scheduled. We also want to make sure that we verify the patient's home narcotic doses on the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program website and discuss with the patient the plan for continuing home doses of their chronic opioid therapy. If appropriate, we'll either keep it stable or decrease them. Also, if you have checked the website and the patient has gotten refills recently, this will allow you to say no to prescribing narcotics at discharge.
Right. And so wrapping this all up then, Kathy, we want to make sure that we validate the patient understanding through teach-back techniques. So boundaries and then making sure the patient understands all the information that we've just given them.
Correct. There's a couple of other important pieces of information that our audience may find helpful as well.
Right, Kathy. I think one of the most common things that we need to talk about are misconceptions and potential stigma that patients with addiction or substance use disorders frequently face. So how might our own experiences or implicit biases impact the care that we deliver every day?
We don't want to approach our patients as a drug addict or a chronic pain frequent flyer. We really do want to complete a thorough pain assessment with an evidence-based tool to look at the root cause or causes of pain.
Right. I think if we do that, and we know that if we do that, and we use the entire care team to complete that assessment on an ongoing basis, we'll be able to discover the root cause of that pain, and that will help us as we move forward in treating the patient.
Right. And using all our resources, like you said, our complete care team will be very helpful because this can be very time intensive. It also allows the entire team to continue building a positive, cohesive, optimistic message about the healing process.
Right. And then what we can do is engage the patient and the care team in building functional goals, moving forward and develop that healing process and get our patient moving and getting back to their daily activity goals or what's really important to them in life.
Right, going home. The hard part is practicing saying no when it's appropriate. We want to make sure that we're understanding why the patient continues to seek narcotics, and that takes time, but we also want to make sure that we can say no if appropriate.
I think that's really important. So let me lead into that. So I think one of the things that that's really important is the types of phrases and how we communicate with our patients. So you're going to talk about one of the important tools that you've learned, and it's something that we should share with our audience.
Right. One of the things I've had to learn is the Pearls Plus communication tools, which help me tell the patients that I'm in a partnership with them. I'm feeling empathy towards their plight. I'm acknowledging or apologizing for what I can or cannot do. I'm respecting the patient, I'm legitimizing the patient's concerns, and I'm supporting the patient. Plus, I also have a plan, and this plan is to help them get better and get home.
Right, and that's a plan that we all put together as the care team. So thanks, Kathy. That's great.
All right. I think it would be beneficial for our audience to know how some of these phrases could work in their daily life. So if we could try a short role play to let you know how the patient care team can help you with these crucial conversations. So for this role play, I'll play the physician. Diane will play Nurse Nancy. And Tony Foose, RN, will play Miss Jones, our patient. Hello, Miss Jones. My name is Dr. Smith. I am so sorry to see you back again with your abdominal pain. This is Nurse Nancy, and both of us will be taking care of you today.
It hurts terribly, and I'm having so much pain, and I feel sick to my stomach. The only thing that helped the last time was that D drug. I think it was Dilaudid or something like that. They gave it to me in my IV, so it worked fast. I also felt really sick to my stomach, and they gave me something for that too, and it also helped. I don't know what that medicine was either. Can I just get those meds now?
I recognize that you're in a great deal of pain right now. We have had other patients with abdominal pain very similar to yours. Your nurse and I will work together to get something to take care of that right away.
How are you going to stop my pain if you aren't going to use that D drug? It really worked fast.
Yes, the IV pain medicines work very fast, but they don't last as long as medicines taken by mouth. What we have discovered with many patients with pain like yours that we are able to control the pain with a new mixture of medications or a cocktail of medicines that work better than just one medicine. In fact, these new medicines are not opioids. They work better for your type of pain than opioids, and they will not have the serious side effects of opioids. How about if I get that going, and then I will come back and we can sit and talk about the next steps?
You know, I really appreciate you listening to me and taking care of my pain so quickly. If you think these new medications will really work, and they've worked for other people with my kind of pain, I'm willing to give it a try. But what if it doesn't work?
Ms. Jones, it is important to understand these medicines, like opioids, will not take away your pain totally. Our goal is to get your pain manageable. Find out what is causing your pain and treat the source of that pain. We want to get you back home as soon as possible so you can get back to doing the things you love most. I'll go and order the medicines, and Nancy will go and get them for you.
Okay, I'll wait for the nurse to bring me the new drugs.
At this point, we walk out, review the Colorado Cures abdominal care path, and order accordingly. And the nurse re-enters the room.
Hi, Ms. Jones. I'm back with the medication Dr. Smith talked with you about.
You know, I've been thinking about this, and I just don't know. My pain is really getting bad, and I don't feel well at all. I told the doctor that the only thing that worked for me the last time was that D drug, but she wouldn't listen to me. She wants to give me this cocktail, but I don't think it's going to work at all.
Ms. Jones, I know you're upset right now, and there's nothing more frightening to have pain like yours and not know what's causing that pain. When we get anxious, the pain can become a lot worse. Besides this medication, I do have a few other things I'd like to try. I have a heating pad here, and I'd like to put that on your stomach. The heat will ease the tension in your stomach muscles, and this will help take care of some of the pain. I'm also going to pull the shades in your room right now to darken the environment. If you like soft music, I can turn on the hospital music channel. There's music and some really pretty pictures. Now, we know that all of these non-medical therapies, along with this cocktail of medications that I have, will help to ease most of your pain. But most importantly, Ms. Jones, I'm going to be right here with you and right outside the room. This medication takes about 15 minutes to work. I will be checking on you to see how you're doing. If the medicine we give you does not help take care of most of your pain, we will come back with another plan. How does that sound, Ms. Jones?
Okay, I guess if you're willing to come back and check on me, and if this doesn't work, that we can do something else. I guess that's going to be okay.
Okay, great. Now let me double check your name, allergies, and explain the new medications I'm going to give to you.
At this point, the nurse shares the above information and leaves the patient room, and the physician re-enters. Hi, Ms. Jones. You look like you're feeling better. What do you think about the new medicines that we have given you for your abdominal pain?
I feel better, but still don't understand why I'm having so much pain. I don't want to have to keep coming back to the hospital for all of these tests.
That's what I came to talk to you about. The next step in the plan is to work with you to better understand what is causing your pain. We will not be able to fix your chronic pain in the hospital, but together with your primary care doctor, we can develop a plan on how to better manage your pain. That may or may not include opioids, but it will include some of the non-pharmacological or non-drug therapies that we discussed earlier.
So I'd be going home on all the same medications I came into the hospital with? My home medications are not working. That's why I'm here. I need high doses of IV pain medication.
I'm sorry, but IV pain medicines are not the best option for you right now. At this time, none of the tests or scans suggest that we need to increase the pain medicines. And as we discussed before, the opioids are not safe. There is a chance you can become addicted to opioids, and they would also have other side effects that would not allow you to function daily.
I can't function at home because of this pain and the nausea and the vomiting.
But the physical therapist says that you're walking around the room well, and the nurse says that you ask for a regular diet. You are getting better, and this is wonderful.
I am not better, and I need the IV Dilaudid.
I am truly sorry. I wish I could give you what you want, but it's dangerous, and I'm not allowed to take risks with your health and safety. Anyone in your position would be upset because you are in a very difficult position right now, but it's unsafe to continue what has been done in the past. So we need to work together in order to move forward in a way that is safer.
But I know my body, and I've been getting these medications for years.
I respect your opinion, and I believe you believe your opinion, but I have a different opinion, and we will have to agree to disagree. I am not able to prescribe medicines that I don't believe are safe for you. We have a lot of options to help your pain, and I do want to help you. And scene. Well, thanks, Diane and Tony, for helping me practice this difficult conversation. It is really, really hard to say no.